You want it, you got it. Lindsay Ness, Ashley Bell, Mrs. Moxie, and a cast of thousands. It's time to spill the beans.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Ooh, hold on.
Good.
Do I need to pause music?
Oh. Sure. Hold on. There we go.
I pushed F10.
There we go.
I'm learning how to radio.
Well, happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Oh. I'm happy to be here.
Right? We got caffeinated. We're ready for another chit-chat.
Today, we're going to be discussing May as Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
Before we get started, though, let's do shout out to our sponsor, Cannon Valley Cinema 10 in Dundas. If you are listening and you listen the whole time, because it's such an engaging show, at the very end, there will be an opportunity to email in and get some free tickets to go see some of the movies that are out right now. And it's like super exciting May release movie time. So.
Absolutely. It's funny you talk about Cannon Valley 10 because we just went and saw Thunderbolts.
Oh,
yep. So we we get a thumbs up from Rich as he walks out of the studio.
I don't know if I know what that one is.
It's a Marvel movie.
Oh, that is my pop culture blind spot. Big time. Oh.
Really?
Oh, man. A couple of years ago, I did a thing where I attempted to watch them all in order.
I was like, chronologically orderly?
Not the order that they came out. Like the
right,
order
but like the
that
order.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
And I did not make it through more than like two or three movies. I think I made it through Captain Marvel, maybe.
Oh, the worst one. I hate that one.
I don't have
a cat.
Strong opinions.
Okay, there's a cat. Whoopee.
I can't do it. Marvel's just like not my jam, and I tried really hard.
Are you a DC fan?
That depends on how.
Batman Tim Burton.
Yes, Batman Tim Burton. Yes, Batman Christopher Nolan. Yes, Batman graphic novels.
Okay.
But I've never, like, not the other characters.
Yeah,
like,
it's all Batman.
I didn't do the Superman.
Yeah.
I didn't. So, yes.
Nope, totally get it.
That is super duper my blind spot. I've watched, like, every movie except for any. And everybody, like, when Endgame was coming out and it was, like, the biggest deal. I didn't see any of that. I missed it completely.
Ryan, he really likes it, but I'm just like, I got nothing. So.
You've been watching The Last of Us, though. See, because, like, that's our, right? We're talking about, like, what are we doing? What are we watching? What are we reading? So
yes.
I want to hear, like, your thoughts. Season one, Last of Us.
So, well, we're almost done with two, because, like, we're, like, binge-watching everything. And The Last of Us, I have avoided it for so long, because I am not a zombie fan. I don't like creatures. It freaks me out. My type of genre of, like, horror or anything that's suspense, thriller, I like tangible, real things. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's why I love Scream so much, is because you get to find out who the killer is and how human they are. Does that make sense?
Yes. Scream?
Yeah.
That's your I mean, I'll take it. I just, like, I wasn't expecting you to use that as your, like, this is a very real representation.
Well, it's not, like, a real representation, but it's not, like...
That's what you mean for, like, scary.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch scary things.
Yeah.
Like whodunit.
Yeah, kind of thing. I like that. I don't like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't like,
like monsters?
Yeah. I don't, like, what is that one called? Oh, my God. Evil Dead.
Evil Dead scares me.
Like, the zombie, creepy, crawly, the unborn. Like, I don't like things that are creature, like...
Paranormal creature.
I have issues with paranormal because I've, like, seen things. I've experienced things. I have watched things fly off a wall. Like, call me cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but yes, I don't do well with spirits. I believe in it. I think they're out there. There are things that you cannot explain. So I would rather not.
Heard it here first. Mox does not rock with demons.
Nope. Mm-mm. So, okay. Can we get into can we talk about, like, an actual personal story of mine that I actually did?
Fire away.
Okay. So everybody knows I'm a drag queen, and I was performing in North Dakota. Okay. Very conservative state, by the way. We had the Christian Women National Group kind of come after us. Anyways, as we were performing, we were staying in the presidential mansion in Valley City. It's one of the oldest buildings out there. It didn't have electric. It was one of the first ones kind of thing, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so we get there, and I didn't realize how old it was. And, like, I walked in, and I was like, this is the Airbnb. I'm not. And then finally they're like, oh, well, this wing was added in the 1970s. And I was like, I'll stay in the 1970s. You all can stay in the 1830s. So I'm sharing a bedroom with my friend Katie, and she is kind of spooked out a little bit too. She's like, this is a creepy place, but it's so cool, you know, kind of thing. And as we're getting ready for bed, I went to the kitchen and I grabbed this salt can, and I'm putting salt in front of my door. Like, I have everything set up, and everyone's just like, you are, like, paranoid. I'm like, uh-uh. I know you people, because my friend Izzy, the drag king.
Yep.
Izzy wanted to play with a Ouija board that night.
Absolutely not.
In the house.
See, I just don't understand how something that's made by, like, Mattel or whoever makes it can be so... Like, I get, like, I don't know. I feel like that's just kind of a thing that people are like, ooh, no. Don't do that. Because
I'm like,
like, for the same reason, like, Magic the Gathering and D&D are all, yeah. I lump Ouija board in with that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Lexi and I were talking about it, and Lexi and I were talking, and we were saying, okay, if they play with the Ouija board, we're going to the hotel. We're going to the Motel 6, and we are going to bunk together. We are not dealing with that.
See, I'm not going to say what, like, believe or not believe. It's just, that doesn't wig me out.
Okay, so.
The way that it does for other people. Like, same, I can spend all the time in the world alone at the Grand, and it doesn't bother me at all. It's like, it's just.
Oh, see, that doesn't really bother me. That part doesn't bother me.
Pitbull Liz will book it out of there. Like, the event is done, things are cleaned up, and she's out because she can't be in there alone.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. Totally get it. The Grand doesn't creep me out, main floor. The basement. Absolutely. I will not go to...
Oh, we call it the scary basement. We're like, can you go to the scary basement and get the laundry?
Yeah, no. So anyways, going back to The Last of Us, like, I avoided it for so long, and now I'm, like, hooked on it because my friend... Well, actually, she was just here. Jess, when she was here, she got me hooked on it. She's like, you need to watch episode 3, period. That's the Nick Offerman one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's like... It will break you. It will wreck everything.
I don't think I've ever eaten a strawberry the same way again. It's so sweet. Except for, like, so I have a thing where, like, I love post-apocalyptic stuff.
Well, yeah, we just talked about that.
Last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Super into it. But I like it so much because I know, without getting super bleak, maybe this, like, ties into the mental health awareness, but I wouldn't try... I would not try.
Just
I don't want to run around and be scared and run away from zombies all the time. Yep. Nope, I'm not doing that. So I'm just going to sit and wait, or I'm going to do what they did at the end of The Last of Us. It's just like that episode specifically. I won't go into it just in case.
Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about the season 2 or season 1?
Season 1 Nick Offerman episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm not going to switch. Yep, I'm just like, I'm exactly not interested about. In living in a post-apocalyptic world where I am constantly running away from monsters. Not interested.
If I was going to do it, I would be with Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Dude was prepared.
And, like, I love that show. I have not seen the most recent episode. I'm always, because it comes out so late on Sunday night.
Yeah.
So I'm always 1 week behind.
Yep.
So I need to catch up on last week's episode, but I'm fully,
you know,
fully caught up on that show. Love it.
So, okay. I love the writing. The writing is so good. But
did you play the game? Either of you?
Yeah.
You did?
Well, I attempted to play the game. It's really hard. I'm not good at, like, focus shooter games. Yep. The storyline is really, really cool, and the art in it is really, really beautiful. But
and there's only 3 games, right?
Two? Yeah, I think there's 2. But like I said, I didn't get through all of them because they're very hard. But
I think so. My boys played it, and they loved the games, and they love the show as well. They said it's, like, a really great, like, even some things are, like, almost shot for shot in the cut scenes in the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm into it. I'm a big fan. I think that the writing, it's like when you have a story where your characters are so well written, you can root for them. It's like, oh, Kurt Vonnegut had the thing where he's like, you have to give your characters something. Like, they have to want something, even if it's just a glass of water.
Yep.
Like, you know what each character wants. Mm-hmm. You know what drives them. You know their past, but they didn't spend too much time
right
like, in the past. So you're rooting for all of them. Sometimes even the characters that kind of suck, you're still also rooting for them. And I think that's...
Right.
I think that's really a great
right
foundation.
Okay, so if anybody's listening and has seen The Last of Us, the, what's the word I'm looking for? Episode 2 of season 2, I was wrecked. Like, I wanted to boycott the whole show.
I haven't watched season 1 since it aired.
No, season 2, episode 2.
Oh. Oh.
Right?
If you played the games, you...
Yeah, like kind of aware. If you happen to watch the show with someone who played the game and they didn't tell you, the roller coaster of emotion that I went on watching the end of that episode while they were just sitting there like, oh, yep, we knew this was coming, and I was freaking out.
No, exactly. I think the show is... really well written. There we go. Yeah, I think the show is really well written, and I also think the what's the word, set design, like all the set and the CGI and everything, how they thought about every detail to it was so well. And I love the flashbacks because it's not all just like current. It like takes you through the story of what happened before, what's happening now, what's going to happen in the future, etc. So it's really good.
Yeah,
but we're not here to talk about The Last
well,
of Us.
Well, that covers like what we're all kind of watching and doing right now. So,
but I was going to say, to go into that, could you manage your mental health in a situation like that?
No, that's why I just kind of said I wouldn't try.
Yep. Because like...
nope. I couldn't. I can barely manage it in this.
Right. Exactly. That brings us to our topic of Mental Health Awareness Month. You know... when I think of TV shows like The Last of Us or anything that's in that realm, it's like, how do they handle their mental health? Because how I handle my mental health right now is going to therapy, talking to people that are going to fill my bucket. You know, like, have you ever heard that term, fill your bucket?
Mm-hmm. I use that all the time. Actually, if you guys want to know, I leave this a lot and tell everybody, I'm like, oh, I have my podcast this morning and it just fills my bucket.
Yeah.
You guys fill my bucket.
Yay.
No, you.
We love it. We love being here, actually.
Period.
And, like, mm-hmm. to be fair, in The Last of Us, Joel goes to therapy. That's really great.
The therapist of all choices to cast, perfection.
Yeah, Catherine O'Hara. I feel like we've had, like, she's like our 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like, every single show we end up bringing her up.
I think the other thing with her is she plays such a perfect part of camp and serious, but dry and direct at the same. And I love that. And when you talk about therapist, my therapist that I see, she's so honest with me. And sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of startled me a little bit. But I love the directness. And I think having direct therapist that is not afraid to, like, tell you how it is. Because, frankly, I don't think anybody should... sugarcoat stuff with mental health, like, and I think it's such a taboo subject right now. In my household, we talk about therapy and like our mental states and everything like that a lot. I didn't have it quite as much growing up, but like me and Ryan definitely have that, like, hey, I'm just not doing so hot today. But yeah, like, what do you guys do for your mental health? Because I mean, everybody does things differently. So what, how do you take care of your mental health, Ash?
Similarly, I am also in therapy, which I was going to therapy kind of throughout my life. And it was kind of like hit or miss, you know, because you have to like, I don't know if this is like, you have to like date your therapist. Like you have to get
totally.
To know them
and like, and be willing to move on if it's not the right fit.
And it's like,
well, and to add to that, because here's the other thing, I had somebody tell me and they said, not only do you date your therapist, but also you might have a therapist for a certain season of your life.
Yeah.
Because if you're working on just yourself and that therapist and you complete that part, but you have another part that's like a relationship or work or whatever, and that therapist can't do that,
yeah,
then you move on from that therapist and try to find a new one that's going to fill that bucket. So, I mean, that's a valid point.
Yeah, but I mean, that process can be kind of exhausting, to be completely honest. And so, like, I was kind of on and off. My current therapist, shout out to her. She's incredible. So I go to therapy. I'm very, very, very open about my mental health with pretty much everyone I know. And I think that's something that's helps take care of myself, is just being like, this is honestly where I'm at today. And I think that just helps people like understand me more. I don't use that as a means to like justify any bad behavior, but I think just like being open and honest about it has been really helpful for me. And just like having like a good support system around me. Like my friends are amazing. My spouse, shout out Marshall, I know they're listening right now. They're incredible. So
it's sweetest thing.
Yeah. It's definitely not a perfect science though, taking care of my mental health, that's for sure.
And to know your limits and what are your triggers are a huge thing. And I've learned that in the last couple of years through therapy, like what does trigger me. And I think that's really hard to accept as well when it comes to mental health, is accepting your triggers, because you don't want to believe that someone or something can be that big of a trigger, but really it can be.
Totally.
And it helps being like super open and honest and having like a support system around you. And I think the stigma is like, oh, people are triggered. Oh, we're going to get people upset. Where it's like, no, everybody has them. It just became a word that folks have used with like a negative connotation. But everybody has something that rubs them the wrong way, that brings up a bad memory, that they're just not having it today. And it could, a trigger could be something that's not even super consistent in life. It just happened to be that thing that day. But if you're talking to folks and you're like, hey, here's where I'm at today. Struggling, didn't sleep well last night, a lot of stress, a lot of workload, feeling burnt out. It does help people meet you where you're at. Like, I don't ever want to try to offload everything that's going on everybody around me. But if I can at least be upfront and honest, like, whether you're doing super well or struggling, because if you're being doing super well, somebody who might be struggling might feel a little more comfortable leaning on you. And then if you're not, it just helps people meet you where you're at.
You know, I think also, just because we're in a pop culture like topic for our show, I think also sometimes social media and like pop culture portray therapists in a way that they're not. Like, I mean, I know it happens, but one that comes to my mind is, do you remember the movie First Wives Club with Bette Midler and Goldie Hawn?
I mean, I know, I remember that it exists, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, this gay person is very upset with both of you right now. Gay guy judging. But the therapist in that movie, she was so helpful in the sense of like guiding Diane Keaton's character. She's like, you need to knock it off, you need to do this, you need to do that. But then what ends up happening is that therapist ended up sleeping with Diane Keaton's husband and had an affair with him. So it's like they're working on a couple's relationship and her therapy, Diane Keaton's character, like to fix her relationship, but here the therapist is sleeping with the partner. And it's, to me, it's like, that's such a horrible way to think about like a therapist who's helping your mental health and now is like the biggest trigger and cause of your mental state. Like, I love when I see good representation of mental health on TV and shows. And I think I think it was Sex and the City, the movie, the first one, where she was, and she was like, the only way you can get better is if you take ownership, and like talked about what the steps were to get there, to see positive mental health support and guidance in pop culture is a huge thing. And I wish we had more of it, because right now, again, we're going back to, mental health is such a taboo subject. People don't want to talk about it because they don't want to live in that like authenticity. Or
I think it's changing though.
I agree.
But I was gonna say, like, it is changing now, I think, especially since COVID. But prior to COVID, it was kind of like one of those, like, but with COVID, we all were going through a mental state of just like, we're in lockdown, I can't see my friends,
and it was like collective world experience. Correct. For the most part. And I do think that our generation and those younger are changing the conversation surrounding it, and being like, I don't know, growing up, if I would have ever heard any of my parents or my parents' friends be like, oh, my therapist said this, or I have to go to therapy at 2 o'clock, whatever, just like totally. And it's not like something that's like, it doesn't fill the room. It's just like, I have to grab groceries, I've got therapy at two. Like, I'm just doing something that takes care of me, because when Lindsay takes care of Lindsay, then I can help take care of my kids. I can take care of my house. I can be better for the grand. I can be better for Rich at KYMN. I can be better for all the places that I have to show up for. So I have to put myself first in that regard. And that's what it is. And is just caring for my mental health.
Yep. But also, mental health doesn't mean that you have to go to therapy. It could be meditation. It could be going for a run. It could be going, playing a video game and just checking out from reality.
Reading, coloring.
Yeah. Like, there's so many different avenues to take care of your mental health. And one of mine that I work with a lot is going for drives. Like, going for a drive and not having a destination, not having a plan, just going is one of the best things for my mental health, because it's like, I get to escape from my normal routine. I can just check out and just go. And in my, what I call that therapy is actually called chasing the sun. So I just chase the sun, and Ryan will be like, what are you doing today? And I'm like, I'm going to go chase the sun.
Yeah.
And he knows that, like, he might not see me for 3 hours.
And that's like, so this last weekend I had a rough weekend. It was whatever, lots of things going on.
Yeah.
We had a great breakfast, busy, steady. We got through it. Morning went off great. But at 12:30, when we were finished, I was like, okay, now it is time for Lindsay. And I left, I went home, I changed, and I immediately went for a nice long run. I have like a little loop that I do. I like to, you go through Seckler, which is kind of a nightmare right now because of the construction at Quick Trip. So I have to run through like the construction zone, and now it's all muddy. They screwed up my route, but that's okay. So I just like go through Seckler, out and around, come out through Dundas, and then come back through on the trail, and then run up the hill. My house is like up by Dairy Queen.
That is not a little loop. That is a long loop. That is a two city loop here, boo boo. I'm like, little would be me.
Little loop is like around the neighborhood.
A little loop would be around KYMN building for me.
Yeah, literally, me too.
But it was
great. I go for a nice big loop.
Lindsay runs marathons.
But at the same time, it was great for your mental health.
It was so great. And then I had forgotten something at the Grand, and I got like a nice little message from Liz, and she was like, hey, you forgot this. I'm going to bring it and drop it off at your house. And it was
Aren't neighbors nice?
Yes. It was so. And so I just was able to kind of take control of where my spiraling brain was kind of at, and let some of that stress that was being stored up in my body out. And so it was really, I run. I do a lot of running for my mental health.
Well, that's good. What do you do for yours?
Great question.
I mean, we talked about therapists.
Yeah. I'm kind of working on that about what I do when I do get kind of like stuck in a bad brain thoughts. I've been getting back into reading a little more. I've been going on walks now that it's nicer out. And listening to music has brought me a lot of joy recently, too.
Speaking of music, you were at a listening party at Verbena.
I was at a listening party. Sleep Token did release their new album, everyone. Yep. I talked about that last episode.
And it's super-duper good.
It's literally my favorite thing in the whole entire world. It was like having a religious experience.
I was in the middle of doing hair, and Ashley walks in, and they're all just jamming on the couch. It was awesome.
It was. We listened to it really loud. So sorry, Max.
Oh, it's fine. I was just like, my little country brain is like going AY. It's like it's malfunctioning. But it was. There were some really cool lyrics and everything, because I did hear quite a few, and like the beats were very good.
So highly recommend. Shout out even in Arcadia. I didn't know I would make a Sleep Token shout out for their new album, but here I am. But no, like listening to music has really, really helped me. But like I said, that's kind of a process for me, is like learning what I do in a productive way. That helps me like with my mental health. Not totally there yet. But yeah.
But at the same time, it kind of goes back to like therapists. You can have routines or things that you do for a season. and right, it might right. not and it might not work later in life. Like
totally.
So I've okay, everybody grab some coffee because this is gonna go down. We're gonna go down on a little trip here real quick. I have been doing therapy for a while now, but prior to that, I started therapy at age 7. I was on anxiety, depression, meds, and everything else. And I mean, my therapist at that point was actually like a, how do you call it? Like a hands-on movement therapist. So I had to do things. Like mm-hmm. I had to build things and sketch things with my therapist. Right now I'm in more of a counseling therapist yeah. where I actually sit and like you have the whole couch thing and you just sit there and you talk. So I've done quite a few different kinds of therapy. In college when I was going through a very when I was in that transition of coming out to my family and it didn't I had very good support from certain sides of my family, but I had very poor support on other sides. And that's a not to get super personal on the radio at 9:30 in the morning, but like that's what therapy is for. It's supposed to help you work through those trauma and the situations that you really struggle with. And the therapy that I did in college with a counselor was I can't remember the title. It's kind of like a rhythmic therapy. So have you ever heard of the pulsating pads?
Is that like ENED?
It's something like that. Yeah. So you hold these little pulsating things and they vibrate in your hand and they try to get your brain waves mm-hmm. on like a rhythm mm-hmm. kind of thing. It was the most fascinating thing. And she had me meditate while doing it. So I was meditating plus doing that. And that was really cool to see. But it was also kind of in that kind of like realm of mentally, like I had to go in deep and kind of like reflect in a meditation.
Totally.
Whereas right now it's like, okay, I'm sober, which that's a whole therapy in itself, mm-hmm. trying to become sober.
And not having that be the thing that was your coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's how I managed my mental health for years. And it was yep. shocker not managing my mental health.
Correct.
So yep. I had to learn a lot of new skills.
Yeah. Exactly. And I just watched this thing with Orville Peck and Drew Barrymore where they were talking about their sobriety and everything. And they're like, I don't drink alcohol and I am sober, but I'm not sober in all realms. It's alcohol is what did me mm-hmm. in and what caused the trauma reflect. So like right now, because I have severe sleep paralysis and night terrors and just have really bad sleeping issues, I take THC to be honest. Like full disclosure, I take THC because that's the only thing that helps my mind stop and stop hurting me. Because like our minds are a very powerful thing, but they can also be the demise of happiness and positivity.
That's like when I was a little kid, we had this class in Pine Island and it was called Guidance. I don't mm-hmm. know if anybody had that class. It was like, gosh, I don't even know, maybe like a little kid's health class kind of. And okay. here's what, like the thing that stuck with me most is there was this dragon named Pumsy.
Pumsy.
Pumsy the dragon. And we had to identify, because like there was all these stories, and was Pumsy in her mud mind, in her clear mind, or in her sparkly mind? And I still use that as my like checkpoint for people. I will be like, I am in my mud mind. Mm-hmm. I am, and like that's almost like my code for reaching out for help sometimes yeah. for folks who know me really well. I'm like, I am in my mud mind. We also refer to my thoughts as the swirly swirls because they just kind of keep going in a circle uh-huh. and the same things keep getting said. And so I'm like, I have the swirly swirls and I am in my mud mind, which means I probably need to eat, take a nap, drink some water, and just like take a little breather,
go for a run,
yep. Yep. do something. But then on the flip side of that, like the sparkly mind, like when perhaps Sleep Token has a new album that comes out, right? And like, but I don't know why that Pumsy the Dragon, and I have done some Googling, and like there is very minimal existence on the, and like I sometimes wondering if I like just made it up, like, but like maybe it wasn't a real thing that I experienced, but I very much remember being in guidance class with Mrs. Flynn in Pine Island.
And Pumsy
the Dragon is still how I measure my mental health to this day.
Well, and I think when you look back at childhood stuff or relating like stuff to pop culture, I have like Inside Out, the movie, as a good representation yeah. of, well, at least the second movie for sure, but it's yep. like Pumsy is a really approachable way to introduce, like, young adults or children.
And
to,
encouraging,
like
self-check-in.
Yes, like,
and
this concept of, like... Like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows the time. And, like, it's really hard to articulate that as a child, to be like, yep. Why am I having these thoughts?
It's funny you say that, because not only is it better in the second movie with Inside Out, where you get to see more the dynamic of the actual characters.
Yeah, of anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety especially. But, like, one thing that I've learned through therapy and counseling is naming those voices, naming those problems. So, like, the one that gets me there, well, there's two. So I have Bridget's
I don't mean to laugh at you, but this is amazing.
I just, like, wasn't prepared for them to have, like,
so I have Bridget. She's kind of the bee. She's the bee. And then there's the self-deprecating one, which is Barbara Jean. Yep.
Oh, I guess I kind of have this, because I have Lindsay with an E.
Okay, yep.
We've talked about Lindsay with an E and how she's, but, like, Lindsay with an E is the version of me that I think is, like, so much better than me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, no, there's Lindsay with an E out there, and she's out there doing X, Y, and Z, and she's running a 3-hour marathon.
Thriving.
And, like, everybody's going to meet this Lindsay with an E, and then I'm going to be, right? Like, then I do this really swirl spiral mud bind. But, yeah, I didn't really think about that being, like, a naming thing. Like, Lindsay with an E is, like, a lot of my insecurities.
Yep. So, and I think when I established that, like, changed my whole perspective. And there's times where, like, Ryan will go, is Bridget having a day today? I'm like, yup. Oh,
Barbara's at the forefront
Yes.
Barbara's driving the ship today.
Yeah. Literally. So we, like, talk about, like, how I have, like, these little voices that we've named. And that has really helped identifying where I'm at, like you said. Like, Bridget's here today, so buckle up.
That is a fun tool. Yes. I like it because it also adds a little bit of levity to the situation.
Yes.
It's relatable, and it's not... I talk a lot about externalizing stuff with my therapist as well, and I think she would, like, be really excited if I started, like, naming my thoughts. I have therapy today at 2, so maybe I'll talk to her about this.
Yeah.
But it's like externalizing things is a really good way to make it not be like you. Like, this is a thing that I deal with, but it's not me as a person.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about tools and things like that. As far as that goes. But, like, we also are talking about, like, in pop culture, like, I see you talked about Inside Out, Ashley, and you have Perks of Being a Wallflower. I haven't read or seen that movie.
Super, super good.
But, okay, so let's kind of tackle in, like, as far as pop culture references. Not just our only experiences, but I think we need to talk about, like, the pop culture. Because, like I said earlier, when we have a good representation of mental health and pop culture and everything, is there any other shows that you guys can think of?
I have, so my list for movies that I found to be some of my most relatable representations of, like, people who struggle with their mental health or have mental health diagnosis that is, like, stated on screen is Silver Linings Playbook and The King of Staten Island and Little Miss Sunshine. King of Staten Island, I don't know if either of you have seen it.
Never even heard of
it. It's Pete Davidson. Bill Burr is in it as well. So Pete Davidson, it's like a semi-autobiographical story. His dad was a firefighter who was killed in the September 11th attacks.
Pete Davidson, that's the guy from SNL.
Yes.
He has a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah. Well, now they're getting removed.
He, like, steals everybody's girlfriend, apparently.
He has really deep eye bags.
Yes.
I guess I've never really paid attention. I don't know how much of the movie is actually his story, but I do know that that's his dad was killed in the September 11th attacks. And The King of Staten Island is, like, the story of a character named Scott, I believe, who is dealing with the PTSD of losing his dad. He has ADD that he is diagnosed with and is, like, severe that he's dealing with. and how that trauma that he suffered as a child impacts his life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's terrified of his mother getting into a relationship with another firefighter. He has, like, a lot of, essentially, like, paralysis in life. Like, smokes a lot of weed, plays video games, just really isn't, like, thriving at all. Projects onto other people, can't connect with this girl that's, like, really fantastic. Like, they should be in a relationship, but they can't be because he struggles with that connection. So I just think it really, both Silver Linings Playbook and King of Staten Island also have, like, reveals that are bad. Like, you watch as he's pursuing this tattoo career and he's, like, practicing tattooing. And in Silver Linings Playbook, I don't know if you've ever seen that, like, they do this, like, dance mm-hmm. competition, and they're, like, leading up to this dance competition. Well, in each of these movies, like, when you finally see the final product and you expect it to be, like, really good, and then it just ends up being, like, bad, but it's so funny. Like, it's intense. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be this masterpiece, and everybody's gonna be like, oh wow, that's beautiful, or like, wow, they killed that dance and they got first place. Nope, they just completed it and barely got it up. Like, and then Silver Linings Playbook, he has bipolar disorder, and I don't know that Jennifer Lawrence's character is ever, her diagnosis is ever named, but it looks like they're trying to give an accurate representation of borderline personality.
Yep.
She's incredibly explosive, unpredictable, has no filter. But I find both of those movies to be really just accurate in terms of, like, your day-to-day functioning, living with something that allows you to still have a job. Like, right, it's not a debilitating mm-hmm. mental illness necessarily. So you're still trying to play by the rules of society, and you're still trying to function within the box over here. But you're not somebody who easily functions within that box. I love both of those movies. And I love bad reveals. Where they, like, totally hype you up to think you're going to see something amazing. And then you're like, oh my gosh, that was awful.
Yeah, their dance in Silver Linings Playbook is crazy.
It's so funny. Because you expect dirty dancing, yeah. right? And, like, yes. You get, like, the end of Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah. Like, okay, like, so I have to talk about this. So do you remember the movie Save the Last Dance?
Mm-hmm.
I used to think the ending dance was so good, and now I rewatch it, and I'm like, what?
I am so I grew up, like, right, I was a dancer growing up, mm-hmm. and then I teach the dance classes. So when I watched Save the Last Dance, the end of it, as somebody who knew what it would take to get into Juilliard,
yep.
like, I wasn't capable of doing it, but I knew what the expectation would be. I watched that, and I was like, that's awful.
Literally, like, that.
Who is the choreographer for that movie, even, that yeah. thought that this was a good representation of Juilliard?
Yes. Yes.
But it was sure a fun movie when we were, like, in 1999 or whatever right. year that was.
I loved the movie, but whenever I see the ending, I was like, that's what's going to get her.
Okay, we're on the radio, so you can't see, like, the sweet, like, she even does, like, the knee move.
Yep, like, yep. Oh, gosh. Too funny. I think one of my favorites, getting into my reflection, because I know we don't got much time, but, like, quick recap on my shows that I like to watch that kind of fit mental health. There's one that sticks out to me the most, and it's a Netflix show called One Day at a Time. Have you ever heard mm-mm. of it? So One Day at a Time is with Rita Moreno. It's a reboot of, like, I think it's 1980s. Original show. Anyways, it lasted 3 seasons on Netflix, and then it got picked up by a different network, and then it got canceled. Anyways, it's a single mom raising kids, and she has a son and a daughter, and her daughter comes out as I believe it's non-binary, or is it lesbian? I can't remember. Anyway, she has a female partner. Okay. And the mom, because she was in the military, she has a lot of PTSD. And there was one episode where the mom just broke, and she started contemplating self-harm, things like that, couldn't leave her bed, like, the crippling depression, bedridden anxiety moment that you don't see in social media or pop culture very often. But I thought they captured it so well, in the sense of, like, she couldn't stop crying, she was in bed the whole time, and she just didn't know if it was worth battling through. Like, It just gave me a different look at, like, you never know how or what someone's going through, behind closed doors. Yeah. Because in front of her kids, she was fine.
Yep.
In front of everybody, she was fine. But in that moment, her mom, who is played by Rita Moreno, comes in and she goes, Lupita, you are not okay. Like, they're all from, like, they're descendants of Cuban and everything like that. But, like, they're speaking in bilingual throughout the show and everything. And the mom, when she just says, you're not okay, you need help. And the mom, she goes, no, I'm fine. And she goes, you think you're fine, but you're not fine. To have that support from...
Something to, like, take that burden from you a little bit.
Yes, is a huge thing as well for mental health. Mm-hmm. It's a huge thing. And to watch that play out on TV and in pop culture as, like, one of those pivotal moments of, like, ah, we can finally talk about it. Like, there, it's okay to be there, but know that there's gonna... there might be someone there to help you, and you need that. So, anyways, that's my favorite.
Well, I want to hear about Turtles All the Way Down.
Yeah, so there is a book slash movie called Turtles All the Way Down by John Green. John Green is notorious for making the most devastatingly sad books and movies known to man. Lindsay and I were talking about The Fault in Our Stars.
Just like how we need a good cry, we just go to that.
Speaking of a good cry, mine is Beaches, Bette Midler. I'm just saying, whenever I need a good cry, I go watch my OG. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll be completely honest. I watched this movie last night. I did not read the book, but it is about a teenager in high school who is dealing with obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. Last year, I was recently diagnosed with OCD, and I think there are a lot of misconceptions around what OCD is. OCD is not just needing everything organized or in a particular way. That can definitely be part of it. But I think that up until recently, that's been a lot of what the representation is. And there's a lot of just like in everyday life, people are like, oh, I'm so OCD because I need my books to be in a certain way.
Right.
So when I watched Turtles All the Way Down, it's about this teenager who's dealing with OCD, and there are like what they call sub themes of OCD, and her sub theme is like contamination, health OCD. So throughout the movie, she is like really worried about catching this disease called C. diff, which is something that you typically get in a hospital. But she was like in her thoughts every day about being like, well, I don't have C. diff now, but I will have C. diff. I have a fever. That's a symptom of C. diff. And it was a really, really, really good representation of like what it is actually like to live with OCD. There was a lot of like moments where she would be in her head and like all the sound around her would like stop and it was just her thoughts. And I like finally, I told Marshall this after watching it. I was like, this is what it's like. This is exactly what it's like to have OCD, and it's scary and it's hard and it's lonely and it's not what people have seen up until now. And so it was like the noise effects of the movie, like her like internal, like talking to herself, her internal thoughts. It was just like, I could not believe, like, I was watching something where I could finally be like, this is exactly, this is exactly what it's like. And I went through a really emotional roller coaster watching that movie, but I think there was something really freeing and being like, there's something that actually like shows what it's like to live with this thing that people don't understand.
It makes it feel less isolating too, because if somebody else was able to capture it, then that means somebody else has experienced it.
Yeah.
Like I know we talked about this on an episode a while ago, but like, that's kind of how I felt watching the anxiety character take over the board on Inside Out 2, where I was like, that is how it feels.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Outwardly, it really just looks like you're, like, breathing heavily, or your heart rate is elevated, or you're sweating, or just you're struggling to make that social connection, or you're disengaged, kind of zoned out.
Yeah.
But inside, that's what it looks like. And so when I was like, oh, wow, what an amazing, tangible, visual representation of what it feels like when anxiety is taking over and pushing every button and dialing every knob up to 10 and
0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, that's something that has been really helpful for me personally through my, like, mental health journey, is, like, hearing experiences from others, personally for OCD, just because that's what I have experience with, is, like, when I'm on TikTok and I see somebody being, like, I have OCD and, like, this is my experience with it, and I can be, like, I relate to this, and, like, I'm not alone, like, other people deal with something similar, and it's like, of course you know that, like, that of course other people in the world have this thing, but it's when it's so openly represented and you can finally be like, whew, like, you could take a deep breath and be like, correct, I am not the only one.
It's like the internet being used for good, and like, what it's, you know, connecting people and bringing more awareness and bringing that conversation instead of all of the other horrors that the internet brings.
Real.
And so it's nice to have those
well,
and access to that information and those people.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many movies where people have, like, the mental breakdown or, like, just emotionally combust. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about all those, and it's just, like, there are some that just, I think of Sally Field in Steel Magnolia, when she finally, right after the funeral, she's with her group of friends, and she's able to let her guard down, and she just, like, I just want to hit somebody. Like, there are moments where in life, that's what it's like. Like, it overtakes us, and to have support in friendship or therapy, or hell, we have Onyx here right now, and Onyx is like a therapy dog for me on certain
medication.
Days. Yep, medication. Yeah. There's so many things that we could do to take care of ourselves, and I know, like, on here we even have cited, Ashley cited the Twin Cities OCD support group. We have the suicide hotline, the Trevor Project. We have so many different collaborators that we can talk about that will help you with your mental health. There's so many places here in Northfield that are centered around therapy or mental health, etc.
And, like, if you face barriers, I think, like, that's to say, like, that 988 is now mental health emergency number for folks to reach out if you are having any thoughts of self-harm, or you are struggling with depression, or you just need somebody to reach out to, like, that 988 number, 911 if you're in a severe emergency that requires attention from
the Trevor Project is similarly especially for queer folks. Please use the Trevor Project for as a resource for queer mental health as well.
Exactly. And locally we have a safe place here in town called The Key, or Northfield Union of Youth. Like, we have just a lot of things here in Northfield that can help you and get you to where you are supported.
If you struggle with financial barriers, you don't have insurance, or your coverage is just not super awesome, Health Finders Collaborative is also a really great resource, and the Community Action Center can help.
I was just gonna say,
get you in contact. But they're wonderful people who do what they do for all the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And they will find a way to help you. And if they cannot directly help you, they will get you in contact with someone who can. Health Finders and the Community Action Center are really great resources for anybody who's struggling with mental health as well.
Yep. There's so many different avenues and support groups and people that you can relate to and call out to and do those. So if you're ever battling with mental health or thoughts of suicide or anything, or just need someone to just talk to, reach out to these folks that we're talking about. And there's many more on that sense.
That's why we wanted to highlight it, because it's the Mental Health Awareness Month. And so we want to make sure that we're giving you all of the things.
And taking that time to prioritize that. Yep.
It's okay to not be okay.
Yep. It's okay to not be okay.
The world is kind of bonkers right now.
Isn't that the truth?
So it's good to have resources.
We got about 5 minutes or so left. I just want to reiterate that we are also doing a book club starting on Spill the Beans. We are doing, what is it called?
Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt.
Yep. Exactly. So that's one, and we're going to be reviewing that. What was that, Ashley? July 10th, I think it was.
And if you are so inclined, I will actually be on vacation that day. So I'm going to email everybody with my thoughts, and then Ashley is going to be both Ashley and Lindsay that day. Yep. She's going to come in and do probably her best jazz hands.
Jazzy Linz.
She's going to do her best impression of me and my thoughts, and then it sounds like, I'm going to start a rumor, maybe Ryan is going to guess.
Mr. Moxie might be joining us, because he has actually already read this book, and he loved it.
Jane from the Chamber texted me when we started talking about it because she said she loved that book. Then I had somebody in my dance fitness class like later that night talking about how much they liked that book, and I was like, "Ooh, we made a good choice."
Yeah. So that's kind of our new journey, as we are doing this book club every so often. I think it's going to be every 2 months we'll review a book kind of thing. So this is our first one, Remarkably Bright Creatures. So join in, and we will be reviewing that on July 10th. And before we get into movies, is there a highlight that everybody's looking forward to for this summer?
Well, mine is going when the book is reviewed, but I'm going to Canada and I'm going to Banff.
You are returning though, right?
Yes. Okay. I don't think that they'll let us stay, okay. But we're going to Canada over the 4th of July. And so I'll make sure I eat a hot dog and all that good
maple
stuff.
Syrup.
Yep. And I'm really, really, really excited. If you haven't seen pictures of Banff, it's like Switzerland in Canada. It's the northern part of Montana. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's that portion of Canada. I'm very, very excited.
Very cool. Ash?
I will be going on vacation with my spouse to a little island off of North Carolina.
Fun.
Their family does it every year. I haven't been able to go the last couple of years, so I'm really excited because I love walking on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Very fun.
Good for your mental health.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Max?
I'm excited for Pride season to be over, and it hasn't even started.
It's exhausting for you, I bet.
I'm exhausted. I looked at my schedule. So basically May 31st through the end of July, I'm in a different city in Minnesota every weekend. One weekend, it's June 20th. So June 20th, I'm doing an event. The 21st, I'm doing an event. And then the 22nd, I'm doing an event. So I'm in drag 3 days in a row, plus working full time at the salon. So it's just like, crash and burn. So my mental health
is
going to need
good
a retreat.
Yes.
So I'm actually really excited. Tomorrow, before all this starts, I'm actually going to go get a massage and relax and kind of just take a little mental health day to prioritize myself. So with that being said, thank you for listening to Spill the Beans. But Lindsay, let's talk about our movies.
Okay, so thanks again to Cannon Valley Cinema for being our sponsor. We could not do the things that we do here at KYMM without our wonderful sponsors. I just pulled up the movies that are opening this weekend. So check www.cabtheaters.com, CABBTHEATRES.com for showtimes. Movies opening: The Last Rodeo. A retired rodeo legend risks it all to save his grandson. Facing his own painful past and the fears of his family, he enters a high-stakes bull riding competition as the oldest contestant ever. Along the way, he reconciles old wounds with his estranged daughter and proves that true courage is found in the fight for family.
Who stars in that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just pulled up the descriptions of the movies.
The only reason why I ask is because I'm all about a good Western with the cowboys.
As you can see, that is The Last Rodeo. That will start. It comes out this weekend, but Cannon Valley has movies. These will all play tonight as well. Cool. Ash, I know you and I are going to be super excited about this. Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
I'm not normally a Disney live action person, but like, man, this one looks cute. We watched the trailer. So my daughter calls it. I've told you that before.
Yep.
We watched the Star Trek Lilo and Stitch. Mm-hmm. So we'll watch that. And then that's the trailer that's on Disney Plus. And then we watched the cartoon. So Lilo and Stitch is the wildly funny.
I hope
and
they
touching.
Do it right.
Yeah, me too.
It looks like it's going to be really good.
All right.
But it's the wildly funny and touching story of a lonely Hawaiian girl and the fugitive alien who helps to mend her broken family. It's the live-action reimagining of Disney's 2002 animated classic. And I'm excited about this
one. I'm excited about that one.
And then you made a, but I'm really excited. Tom Cruise returns as Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning.
This is like the 20th Mission Impossible,
yep, you guys. I'm in. It's kind of like Jurassic Park, like blow stuff up, fly planes. No. Same with Top Gun. I'm all about dumb action movies. I have actually missed a lot of them in there. But I will go see.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to see the other ones to know.
There's no plot points that you have missed.
But I will give this to Tom Cruise. Just to wrap all this up, I will give this to him. He does do all of his own stunts. So props to him. But no.
I love.
That is not a sleigh in my book.
That's not a sleigh.
What's the opposite of a sleigh?
A boot.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving that movie a boot. I'm giving Tom Cruise a boot. Sorry.
I think, like, the kids these days would just say, like, bruh.
No, that's cringe. That's cringe.
Okay.
Listen, I don't
so
know.
So if you want to score some tickets to Cannon Valley Cinema to go see any of these movies this weekend, email with the words mental health. Oh, Ashley, do you have a better one?
I wanted it to be joy.
Joy! Joy. We changed it. Email joy to studio at kymnradio.net. Studio at kymnradio.net. And send an email to Rich, and he'll get you some tickets.
Yes. Well,
that brings us to the end of our show.
That brings us to the end of our show, and we can't wait to see you. On our next day, let's see, what day is that? That would be June 12th. Right?
Happy Pride.
Yep. It will be Pride Month. So June 12th, we will be back with a fresh cup of caffeinated chit chat.
Do something good for your mental health today.
Yep. Take time out of your day and have a good one.
Get in your sparkly mind and tell someone if you're in your mind.
Yes. Take care, everybody.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye-bye.